Good morning. Could you turn your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 5? We've been going through the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 5, we meet a king whose name was Belshazzar. And this king lived in the great city of Babylon. And that city had been built by King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar had died some 23 years before. And now, according to history, it is believed that Belshazzar is a co-ruler with his father, Nabonidus. The city of Babylon was known for its gold, and Belshazzar had great riches at his disposal, and in Daniel chapter 5, he decides to throw a party. Daniel 5 verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. At this time in the life of Belshazzar, there is an enemy. The armies of the Medes and Persians are outside the city of Babylon. But you might think, why should the army of the Medes and Persians worry him? After all, this king is living in a city that was surrounded by great high walls. The walls were over 350 feet high, and there was 100 gates made of brass in the wall. The city had 250 watchtowers, and it was completely surrounded by a moat, which was fed by the Euphrates River. The river also ran through the city. There was an endless supply of water, and historians tell us that the city had enough food stored up within its walls to last 20 years. What army could possibly be a threat to a city such as Babylon? When King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the city, he'd taken credit for everything that he'd done. But God brought him low until he turned to the Lord. In chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar gives his testimony of how God had worked in his life. Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Belshazzar was in the family line of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was aware of how God had worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life, but unlike Nebuchadnezzar, sadly, he did not turn to the Lord. We see the king's idolatry. In chapter 5, at Belshazzar's great feast, he commits idolatry and causes others to commit idolatry on a massive scale. Daniel 5 verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. You might remember that in Daniel chapter 1 that Nebuchadnezzar had besieged the city of Jerusalem. He took away captives to the land of Babylon, but as well as taking captives away, took away some of the vessels that were used for worship in the temple at Jerusalem. You see that in Daniel 1 verse 2. Now here, Belshazzar orders that the vessels taken from the temple at Jerusalem be brought to him. He has those vessels distributed amongst his party guests, and they are filled with wine, and he and his guests praise the gods of Babylon as they drank. The Bible says that Belshazzar had invited 1,000 lords to his party. Now, as you read the Bible here in chapter 5 of Daniel, you find that an uninvited guest turns up. This uninvited guest brings a message that terrifies Belshazzar. The invitation had gone out to 1,000 lords, but he had never invited the Lord himself, the Lord over all the earth, into his life. The hand of the Lord wrote an inscription on the wall. You see the heavenly inscription there in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. In the same hour, this is verse 5, in the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. That the king was terrified by the heavenly intruder to his party. He wanted to find out what the message meant that was written on the wall by this strange hand. He called in all his wise men of Babylon that they might tell him the meaning of the writing, but no one could help him. The queen knew the reputation of Daniel. Daniel had previously been able to interpret the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the queen says this in Daniel 5 verse 11, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers." Verse 12. "Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Verse 13. "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you.'" Daniel had a great testimony. Daniel had served King Nebuchadnezzar faithfully along with the other three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Daniel never compromised, and he was always a great witness. And God had used him greatly throughout his life. And when we think of Daniel's testimony, we should ask ourselves, how is our testimony? Do others know that God has done a work in our lives? Do other people know that you are a Christian? Can they see that your life is different? Do others know that you have a concern for the gospel to get it out to a lost world? Do you pray that the Lord would help you to be faithful and an effective witness for him? Do you pray that the Lord would keep you faithful and effective even in your old age? When Daniel's called before Belshazzar, he's now around in his 80s, and he'd been running the race for a long time, and he was still faithful. Here is Daniel in his old age, and yet again he's called before another king. Daniel begins the interpretation of each word that was written on the wall. And before Daniel interprets the words, he tells the king about Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel explains how God gave Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom. And Daniel went on to explain that Nebuchadnezzar had great pride and that God had humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar became like a beast in the fields. Daniel 5:21. "Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses." Daniel went on in great bravery to tell Belshazzar his sins and the judgment that God would bring upon him. Daniel 5:22, "But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Daniel, throughout his captivity, was in the minority. He displayed tremendous courage as God's man in Babylon. Daniel didn't mince his words, but willingly brought God's word to the kings in his day, even if God's word was not favourable to them. There was a man in Christian history called Hugh Latimer who did the same as Daniel. He was brave. Hugh Latimer was a leading reformer in England in the 1500s. Henry VIII was on the throne when Latimer was preaching. It is said that Latimer had the courage of a lion. Henry VIII was an immoral man. He beheaded a number of his wives during his time and also wanted a divorce. It is said that Hugh Latimer approached Henry VIII with a gift for New Year's Day. It was a Bible. He turned down one of the leaves of the pages of the Bible to mark out Hebrews 13:4, and Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." At another time, King Henry called Latimer to preach before him, and Latimer denounced the king and his courtiers. Like John the Baptist before King Herod, Latimer made King Henry aware of his sins. Under the reign of Queen Mary, Latimer was arrested and burnt at the stake with his friend Nicholas Ridley. Latimer had great boldness before the king, and so did Daniel. Daniel 5 verse 26. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene. So this is Daniel giving the interpretation. This is the interpretation of each word, mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Unknown to the king, the Medes and Persians had a battle plan in order to take the city of Babylon. Years before, Jeremiah had prophesied that the city of Babylon would be taken, and he mentioned that the Medes would be those who were involved. Jeremiah 51 verse 11, "Make the arrows bright, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple." Verse 13, "O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you." Jeremiah 51 verse 28, "Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion." Verse 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord, "Behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant." Daniel 5 verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, verse 31, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Darius the Mede invaded the kingdom. Babylon was a city that was incredibly fortified. As I mentioned, Babylon had huge walls. They were over 350 feet high. The river Euphrates ran right through the city. The river's openings to the city were protected by spiked gates that reached down into the water. History tells us what happened to Babylon. Cyrus, who is an army general of Darius the Mede, invaded the city of Babylon. In preparation for the invasion, General Cyrus got his troops to dig trenches alongside the Euphrates River upstream from Babylon. He then diverted the Euphrates River away from the city. Remember what Jeremiah had said? Jeremiah 51:36, "I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap." On the night that Belshazzar held his great party, General Cyrus and his army were able to walk into the Euphrates River because they diverted the stream, and they were able to invade the city through the riverbed. They walked under the gates while the drunken party was going on. The king, his subjects, and his soldiers were drunk, and they were not aware of the invasion until the Medes entered the city. They then killed the king. The writing was on the wall, and the party was over. Daniel 5, verse 30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, there's a lot we can learn from this passage. 1,000 lords to the party, but the king had never invited the Lord of all into his life. There are so many people in our rich land of Australia that just think life is about eating and drinking and being merry, just like this king. Many Australians work hard and they play hard, but God has no place in their life. They forget that God has given them breath and God has given them life. Job said in Job 33, verse 4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Belshazzar, the king, had no time for God, but his time had run out. Secondly, Belshazzar knew Babylon's history. He knew that God had provided a witness in Babylon. Daniel's reputation was outstanding. Daniel had previously helped King Nebuchadnezzar, and Belshazzar knew how God had worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Daniel 5:13, "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you.'" Belshazzar knew of the testimony of Daniel. He also knew of the history of Babylon and how God had worked in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar made sure that his own testimony would go out through the whole of the Babylonian Empire. Daniel 4, verse 1, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." Belshazzar knew how God had worked in the history of his nation, but he ignored and even blasphemed the true God and chose to worship man-made idols instead. And the result for him and his kingdom was absolute disaster. The population of Australia and those in our parliament should take notice of this passage. God has worked wonderfully in our nation in its history. We have been blessed by God in Australia. Australia's parliament acknowledges the Lord in parliamentary prayer. which is read by the Parliament's President every morning that Parliament sits. This is the prayer. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy special blessing upon this Parliament, and that thou wouldest be pleased to direct and prosper the work of thy servants to the advancement of thy glory and to the true welfare of the people of Australia. This wonderful prayer here in Australia is followed by the Lord's Prayer. What a great way to start the day for our rulers. Thou wouldest be pleased to direct and prosper the work of thy servants to the advancement of thy glory. Wonderful prayer for our nation set in Parliament. As I mentioned, God has worked in this nation, and we've enjoyed the blessings of his goodness. We are his servants for the advancement of his glory and the good of our nation. But like Belshazzar, many in our population and many of our rulers are apt to forget the ruler over all things. Today, numbers of our leaders are tempted even to blaspheme the Lord in favour of the intoxicating idolatries and philosophies of our present day Babylon. Like Babylon, for our nation, the writing is on the wall. If this nation continues in its rebellious ways, and if its leaders forget the great things that the Lord has done for us, one day the party will be over and everyone will give an account of himself to God. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Whilst the king was intoxicated with wine, he made a terrible decision for himself and his kingdom. Belshazzar blasphemed the Lord as their leader and led all those at his feast into blasphemy, idolatry, and ultimately tragedy. I fear that the party is over for Australia unless we have a government that honours God. When Saul was crowned as king and ruler, Samuel gave the people some great advice. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When the Apostle Paul speaks about governing authorities, he says that they are meant to be ministering good to us. Romans 13 verse 4, talking about governing authorities, for he is God's minister to you for good. Did you know that the Bible warns leaders against the use of wine, an intoxicating drink? Proverbs 31 verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Proverbs 23 verse 31, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a shepherd and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Belshazzar, his lords, his wives, his concubines, as well as his soldiers were intoxicated and the party was going to end in death. Did you know that when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, that their planes reached the harbor at 7:55 a.m. on that Sunday morning? There are those that believe that one of the reasons that the Japanese chose Sunday morning to attack was that they knew that the American military relaxed discipline on the weekends, allowing soldiers and sailors to go on leave. The Japanese knew that numbers of servicemen who were on military bases would have partied the night before, that's on the Saturday night, and would have been in no state of preparation mentally or physically for an attack. Alcohol would have impaired the response of those in the military forces. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." The king and his lords, in their drunken state, didn't know that that night the party was over because Babylon would be attacked. Daniel 5:30. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That night, King Belshazzar was warned and judged at the hand of God. The Bible tells us that all of us are going to be judged by the Lord. In fact, all of us can identify with what Daniel had said to Belshazzar. Daniel 5:27, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting." If we're all honest, when we come before God, we've all been weighed in the balances and found wanting. We're all guilty before a holy God because of our sin. We all deserve judgment. All of us deserve hell because of our rebellion against God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The good news, though, is that we can be set free if we trusted the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Romans 3:24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus Christ took our judgment for our sin upon himself. Believers in Christ will not be punished in eternity for their sins because Christ took our place. We won't go before the great white throne judgments. We do not have to fear hell if you've trusted Christ as Saviour, though we will go before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10-12. At the judgment seat of Christ, God will reward us for the things that we've done in this life in Christ. Romans 14 verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body." Those that have not trusted Christ will also face a judgment, but that judgment will be the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20 verse 11. We face a judgment as believers for reward at the Bema seat. The great white throne judgments mentioned in Revelation 20 verse 11 and down to 15. And this is the judgment for non-believers, for those that haven't trusted Christ as Saviour. Revelation 20 verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Sadly, Belshazzar never acknowledged the Lord in his life and he experienced the terrible judgment of God. He never bowed before the Lord in his life. You know, the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow. Romans 14 verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." Daniel 5:22, "But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of each word, Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. What a tragedy. This king had Daniel in his midst. Daniel was a fine witness to Nebuchadnezzar and now a fine witness here to Belshazzar. This king dared not to honour the Lord. This king dared to take the sacred vessels and use them in his drunken feast. This king ignored the Lord. There was the hand and there was a writing on the wall. There was a warning from Daniel. Yet this king in his life did not heed to the Lord, and he was weighed in the balances. He was found wanting, and he was judged. So many people today are in the same position of King Belshazzar. They've seen witnesses for the Lord. They've perhaps even read a Bible. Perhaps someone has come up to them in the street and told them of the Lord. Perhaps in school, in scripture, they've heard of God being the creator and Jesus being the saviour. But they've gone on in life and they've ignored the Lord and they've ignored his warnings. And one day, if they don't turn to Jesus, they're going to face a Christless eternity. How sad. We need to be like Daniel. We need to be people that are faithful witnesses, faithful to God throughout our lives, so we can be a witness to others, so that others might come to know that God is their creator and Jesus is their saviour. Let's pray. Lord, like Belshazzar, our days are numbered and one day they'll be over. We know that we've been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. But Lord, those of us that have trusted Christ as Saviour, we thank you that he's taken our sins and he set us free. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us. Lord, help us to be like Daniel, who lived a godly life in an ungodly society. Help us to live for your glory. Lord, we know that our nation is increasingly forgetting God, and we know that one day the party will be over. We pray, Father, for those in the federal government and those in the state government. Lord, we pray that you would remove ungodly rulers and bring in rulers that acknowledge the Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray for our nation and we pray for revival, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.